Blog Talk Radio.
I know it's hard, Israel. Trying to live right in this wicked kingdom. Our time is coming real soon.
It's been a long time, but it's coming real soon. It's gonna be okay.
The truth back and forth too much.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, and welcome back. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, your host, as well as your teacher, Georgia Johnson. Today, family, is the 18th of May, 2012. We're going to go into something a little special today. Now, we're going to be talking about the Bible in the beginning. Many of you who have been following along and studying with us understand that I, over and over and over and over again, I always bring up, have you watched the movie The Bible? If you have not watched that, you need to get a hold of it. I hope everybody has a Bible with them, family, because we're going to go over some of that material. I was blessed enough by one of our brothers, and I'll give credit to that brother. Brother John has been helping me with certain information. And I was blessed to be able to receive a copy of that so I can get the dialogue from that particular show that made Broadway. I believe that's 1966, if I'm not mistaken. I got to go back and look at the exact date. I thought I wrote it down. But this particular movie called The Bible, that I'm going to look it up real quick, okay, because I thought I had that information. I don't have it in front of me, but it's very important that I get it for you because this particular movie aired in 1966, family, and I'm going to give everybody a link to it on the chat line just so you know where I'm talking or what movie I'm talking about. But this particular movie came out in 1966. It was supposed to be a representation of our Hebrew Bible. Well, we're going to go into a little information about this particular show because this particular show had a lot to do with our being destroyed as a nation, very much so. When we go to the book of Deuteronomy, we understand that everything that we would get from our oppressor, including the understanding of our own books, okay, the scrolls, manuscripts that were ours originally, that was taken from us, they taught us a perverted doctrine. Now, I'm glad to do this show today because I know that many of our family members who are still in Christianity, yes, this is for you, they don't understand when we talk about we are not in a religious society. We read from the scriptures, and that's the way the Father wanted us to learn. So when we go over some of this information, it's just like, you know, they can't grasp it. Nonetheless, family, nonetheless, this information is definitely part of the information, as you will see shortly, that has gotten our people in a destroyed state, kept our people in a destroyed state, you know. We're going to get into that information in a little bit. I just gave you guys the link for the 1966, and this is a classic as they have it, the Bible, In the Beginning. Now, in this particular clip, family, that we're going to be going over today, you're going to, I'm going to read what they say for theirs. It says, extravagant production of the first part of the book of Genesis covers Adam and Eve, Noah, and the flood, and Abraham and Isaac. Now, this was directed by John Huston, okay? And some of the actors within this film are well-known today, even to those who don't, you know, I guess those who don't know some of these actors by name, just by watching them on the TV, they're very, very popular. But before I go into that, let me just tell you a little bit about the storyline here. If you go down, someone wrote this as far as the storyline. It says, an elaborate Hollywood retelling, this is a retelling of the Bible stories narrated by the film director John Huston. It says, we open the creation of the world and arrive at the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and continue on to Cain and the murder of Abel. Next, we visit Noah and his ark with spectacular flood sequence. And then we come to the story of Nimrod, king of Babel, the emergence of man's vanity and the heights to which it could aspire if unchecked. Finally, we cover Abraham, a mystic who spoke personally with the Father, a leader of men, a builder of nations, a pioneer and a warrior, and Sarah. It says, at the time she conceived her first child, the event being forecast by an angel of, I'm going to just read what they have, the angel of the Lord. Okay, it says, three such heavenly messengers appear in the course of events which befall Abraham and Sarah. Now, this was somebody's writing of it. But basically, the show, the Bible, it was definitely supposed to be, you know, they're making this Broadway hit that is supposed to symbolize what the Bible has in it. Just like many of the History Channel's tellings of what the Bible says, you're going to find a lot of variances in actually what they produce. So I want to bring this out because I keep telling everyone, like the Bible says, there are two creations. Well, I have the material to prove what I'm telling you. This was done in 1966, family, 1966. Ooh, you know, I tell you, family, they have quite a, they've done quite a bit of damage to our people. And when we bring this truth that there were two creations to our people just can't fathom the thought of that. We better not mention anything about that lie, which we, when we expose the virginity birth, let alone telling of who the true people are. This is way too much for people to handle. But yet and all, it can all be found within our history book, which the Gentiles call the Bible. It can be found within our book. So we're going to go through some of this information today, family, and I sure hope you have your Bibles with you. I will give you links today because it's very important that you follow along with me. Now, I'm going to first start my show up by just giving a little background. We got to go to these places first, family. I'm going to take everybody, and the first link I'm going to be giving out is Ecclesiastic. Chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. I'm going to give everybody on the chat line that particular book. Now, if you're at home, I do pray that you will open your Bibles when we get to playing the MP3, speaking of what Hollywood has reported and why our people are totally lost, especially those in Christianity, as well as some of the Hebrews out here too, because they won't accept that there were two creations. But nonetheless, this is how they were even able to keep us more and more deceived. I mean, you can find out that you're a Hebrew and think you found out everything, but there's way more to the story, because this particular part, really, in order to know the end, you got to know the beginning. You can't, that's just like trying to give prophecy. How are you going to give prophecy when you mix all the people up? Same principle. Okay, it's the same principle. So what I want to give you guys is just a little bit of understanding here. I want to take you first to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It had already been of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Family, what we're witnessing in our time is the aftermath of the first earth age. This was an age of rebellion against Yahuwah by the angels. What angels, people will say? Well, you know, us. We were the angels. What you see today, there's nothing new with what you see today. It might have a different appearance than what it had in the first earth age, but we are spiritual beings. Now, I'm going to be bringing on a brother later to do the first earth age really thorough, but I'm just going to give you a little bit of glimpse of what they have not taught you. If you have not learned this in your church to this extent, you need to ask your pastor, ask your minister, ask your reverend, ask your person you call father or rabbi, why haven't you learned this? As well as when we go through this movie they put in production called The Bible. So we were those angels, family, and there is much proof within scriptures to let you know that there was a first earth age. It didn't all begin as the world has taught us at the beginning, starting in Genesis chapter 1. No, there was way more that happened before that earth age. We're just in earth age. When they say world age, earth age, eon, it's all the same thing. We are in the second earth age right now. The first earth age occurred right at the beginning of Genesis. Okay? Now, if you guys follow along, okay, you can get understanding by reading the scriptures. We're going to go to 2 Peter, and everybody at home, please open up your Bibles. Those of you who are on the chat line, go ahead and hit 2 Peter chapter 3. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to be reading verses 3 through 18. Okay? This is going to go into that first earth age. The second epistle, beloved, Did I tell you I'm reading verses 3 through, I don't know if I told you guys that, so make sure I did. I'll read verses 3 through 18 for anyone who is opening up their Bible and following along with me. Okay, out of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, it reads, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of Yahuwah and Yahushua, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, which means dead, you know, they died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of Yahuwah the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. A lot of people call this the catabole. Okay, a lot of people call the first major flood, which covered the entire world, the catabole. That's what we're reading about in 2 Peter chapter 3. So it reads, picking up at 7, it says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of unrighteous men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with Yahuwah as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Yahuwah is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of Yahuwah will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and holiness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of Yahuwah, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall be melted with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of Yahuwah is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked. Fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Father Yahuwah and King Yahushua. To him be glory both now and forever. Hallelujah, Hoo-wah. Family, a lot of people look over these verses, don't think twice about them. There was an earth age prior to the beginning of Genesis. That is what the whole Bible is about. But like I said, I don't want to go too deep in there, but there are verses that tell you that there was an earth age that was over flooded before. When he got down to Noah's flood, he said, I'm never going to destroy the earth with water again. We know that in the end times, we're going to be having fire for destruction. Fire. So he was letting you know about that first earth age where the whole earth was completely covered with water and destroyed. Now he's telling us about the third earth age. There's nothing new under the sun. It was of old. That's how he did it of old. He destroyed the whole thing. Okay? And this new earth age came on, which we're in right now. That's the second earth age. Well, the flood took over. Okay? We're still in that earth age, because if the flood took over but we're still in the same earth age, that meant that the whole earth was not destroyed. But for this third earth age, everything's gone. You can't take nothing with you. No unrighteousness will be left on this earth, family, because right now there's much unrighteousness, much lying that has been done according to the word. Father's not putting up with it. That'll lead us straight into the New Jerusalem, the third world age, earth age, eon, call it what you want, but it's the third earth age. There's nothing new under the sun. Go over to Jeremiah 4. I'm going to read verses 23 to 27, okay? Go to Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 23 through 27. This is just to give you an understanding, family. The Father is very long-suffering. When we think of long-suffering, we think of, okay, at the beginning of Genesis, okay, and how Adam and Eve fell, and then Abraham, and then this one, and then that one, and then, you know, the stories of the Bible. But it was before in that other earth age. This earth age is on account of the fall that we did in the first earth age, okay? Now, when we go to Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 23 through 27, it reads, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. Now, family, this is where in the beginning it says the earth was void. Well, right there in the beginning, these verses should have gone right there. okay, these verses, because there was an earth that was formed correctly, okay? The Father doesn't make anything just void. So let's read it. Jeremiah 4, verses 23 through 27 says, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heaven were fled. So there were birds before, but there was no man left there. I hope you're getting it. All the birds of heaven were fled. There were birds there. When we go to Genesis, we're reading about, on the fifth day, I believe, we're reading about the birds being formed, or made, rather. But they were already there in the first earth age. We're reading about the first earth age family. Verse 26, I beheld, and lo, the fruitful places was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of Yahuwah, and by his fierce anger. For thus hath Yahuwah said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. He didn't make a full end. Okay? Some people think that this right here is talking about the flood of Noah. No, this is talking about the first earth age. First earth age. Okay? Because you don't hear nothing about Noah in there. But he didn't make a full end of it. He still left the earth, but it was submerged under water in the beginning of Genesis 1. Now, you know that the Atlantis had to be in the second earth age, because that's when you had all the hybrids and the angels in that place. So there's two different things, family. Let's keep them straight. We're talking about that first earth age at the very beginning of Genesis. So when they do the story in the beginning, why don't they tell you this? Hey, I don't know. I don't know. Could it be that maybe they're trying to hide something? Okay, hey, I got more to go into on this part, but I don't want to keep it going on this too much. We've got way more to cover. You think about it. Think about why is it that certain people were chosen and called and others weren't? Others were put here to try us, and they were made to be bondsmen and bondswomen. Okay? Think about it. Why did Yahuwah have a special people? He formed them. And he gave him the breath of life, the Ruach. So let's go on. I want to take you guys quickly to Isaiah 29. I'm going to read verses 15 and 16 and then jump to 24. So in Isaiah 29, verse 15, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from Yahuwah, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? Surely, your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not. There's certain people who don't call our Father their Father. Think about it. Although he created everything. He says, he made me not. Or shall the thing framed or formed say of him that formed it or framed it, he had no understanding. They also that err in the Ruach shall come to understanding, and they that murmur shall learn doctrine. Now, we know that there is a special doctrine that's out here now, family, that is against our Father's word, totally against our Father's word. Now we're going to learn some of Yahuwah's doctrine. Family, go over to Proverbs 4, verse 7. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Let's take it to our Father's word. He wants us to understand. Get some. Don't just get the wisdom, but with that wisdom, and while you, with all you're getting that you're getting, you think you're so wise, get understanding. Get the truth. Get the truth. You've been lied to. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why would our Father tell us that? We're going to take a look at it today. But first, I want to take you guys somewhere. Just remember, family, you hear it all the time with the phrase of the New World Order. The New World Order. The New World Order is nothing new, family. It's nothing new. But we hear so much about this New World Order. Okay, well, let's get some understanding while we're getting this wisdom. Okay, we have to have wisdom of what has been done to us. We have to have wisdom of how did they do these things to us. I happened to look up, family, how to write a screenplay. Now, just check this out. But keep in mind, the screenplay is what you have been taught. What you have been taught, according to the word, is not what the word actually says, but it's what you've been taught. Now, check this out. How to write a screenplay. Get into the heads of your characters. Because you know, throughout history, they've been watching us for a long time. They've been seeing how we work, seeing how we react, seeing every part of our body. Hey, we're going to get into the head of your characters. Know them. Okay, so it tells you in this screenplay, how to write a screenplay. You should focus on pre-writing. Avoid creating the plot and dialogue as you go along. No one will be interested in a rambling, disjointed script. You must know your characters' likes, their dislikes, personality traits, and worst secrets. Creating a character sketch of your main characters will help ensure you know your leads well. Now, this is in writing a script. Now, remember, there was a script written that they're going to be showing you on this Bible movie because it's not according to what the word says. But, hey, let's check out what else they say. How to write a screenplay. It says, get into the head of your characters. It says, you should also know the ending of your movie before you begin writing. Order out of chaos. Getting it? Order out of chaos. It says you should also know the ending of your movie before you begin writing. They already knew what plan they wanted to put in effect. And the order out of chaos means those people who say order out of chaos, they caused the chaos, but they give you the solution. If you're going to know the ending of your movie, you've already pre-planned it. Okay? It says also know the ending of your movie. How the income's going to be in this great screenplay that you're going to write, just like what they wrote in the word and taught it to us, how they put those words in, because they're getting in your head. They know how you think. They know what you will think after they keep forcing these lies by words into your mind. And then they laid open the book of the law and put the images of the heathens in there. So let's check this out. It says, the basic structure of any compelling story has three parts, namely a beginning, a middle, and an end. Not clear enough? The beginning should establish the main characters and their situations. The middle should involve the characters struggling against a conflict in order to achieve a goal. And the end should be about the resolution of the conflict. Well, we know this part right here flips back to them. They know. If we're going to go by what they say, we know that they have established their characters, okay, and the situation. The middle involves a character struggling against a conflict, okay, in order to achieve a goal. And who is struggling? Well, they are, because we already know what the word says. That's our beginning, that's our middle, and that's our end. They're going against that. Those who have put this movie, the Bible, together, those from ancient times, we're going to get into that in a second, too. And to the end is going to be at the resolution of the conflict. So how do they think they're going to clear up this so-called conflict, this order out of chaos? Hey, those who have devised a plan against the Father's people have thought this out in advance, family, and they're proceeding with their own plans on schedule. Many people don't understand when you go to certain books that were taken out of the Bible to hide from you, it kind of clearly lays it all out. Well, what was their plan? They say New World Order. They say Old World Order. They say New Atlantis. They say Old Atlantis. The fallen angels and the fallen. This was their plan, family. They are trying to bring on the Old Atlantis. Okay? The Old Atlantis. Satan has been working overtime, triple time to deceive you. We're going to go into this a little bit more. We can first read about their plan. Many people have heard many Christians, and especially Gentiles, I've heard them use this particular part of the book of Enoch. Okay, it tells you The Fall of the Angels. And I'm going to give you guys the link to where I'm at, okay? I'm going to give you guys the link to where I'm at. Okay. Ooh, let's see if it took. Yes, it did. Okay, great. I'm going to give you guys this link because many people go and they try to put this stuff together and they... Oh, okay, great. Okay. Many people try to put this together, and they get all wacky with it. But anyhow, there's your link right there, okay? There is your link. It's at the Book of Enoch, okay? Now, I'm just going to read something really quick out the Book of Enoch just to show you guys what is in there. Okay, this is the plot. This is the plan. Many people overlook it. They forget about it. Why do you think the Book of Enoch was taken out? Okay, I believe this is chapter 6, VI. It might be, yeah, I think it is chapter 6. It says, "And it came to pass when the children of men had multiplied that in those days were born unto them beautiful and comely daughters." We're talking about the creation of Genesis 1 here with the fallen angels. This occurs in the Bible in Genesis chapter 6. "And the angels, the children of heaven, saw and lusted after them and said to one another, come, let us choose us wives from among the children of men and begat us children. And Samjaza, who was their leader, said unto them, I fear ye will not indeed agree to do this deed, and I alone shall have to pay the penalty of a great sin." What sin? They're trying to bring on this Old Atlantis, the New World Order, order out of chaos, family. And they all answered him and said, these angels, they all said, "Let us all swear an oath and all bind ourselves by mutual imprecations not to abandon this plan, but to do this thing." Then swear they all together and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it. And it tells you that there were in all 200 who descended in the days of Jared on the summit of Mount Hermon. And they called it Mount Hermon because they swore and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it. Now, that's all we need to read. Many people don't understand that there are angels right here among us. These same angels are about, not these particular same, well, I shouldn't say the same angels are about, but the plan is still here. The children are still here. The Nephilim never went nowhere. And there's angels here that are still being used and by Satan the deceiver, and they have left the Father, and they are walking right amongst you right now, and they are definitely giving information to their children, okay? We talked about two hybrids in the last show that we did, okay? Mouses in the Bible. We talked about two different hybrids. Well, the one from Genesis 6, that evil one that is really called the elite, and when I say the evil one, I'm talking about the ones who are over the common hybrid. I'm talking about the ones who seat themselves in positions of power, okay? There were more than one set of hybrids, family, and you can call them giants if you want to. You can call them, fallen ones is what the Strong Concordance refers them to, as well as Nephilim. So these words are speaking of something that was on the earth. We know that if we read all the Book of Enoch, they were passing them information. They're still passing them information because what does the Bible say? There is nothing new under the sun. You can't say anything is new. A lot of people overlook that verse and think it just pertains to the Bible. There's things that was hidden, but yet the word is still there letting you know there was another earth age. This earth age right here we're in, hey, the flood of Noah had to come. Cover Atlantis, cover them hybrids up, kill them off, okay? Only one Hebrew male that was perfect in his generation named Noah and his family made it across the flood. So this plan is still going on because it tells us there were giants in those days and also afterwards. Hybrids, they were there before as well as afterwards. They have a plan. They have a plan, family. Their plan is to keep us destroyed as a nation. Now, is this plan hinted around in Scripture? Yeah, it is, because our Father warns us of many things and most people can't figure it out. You go to Genesis 3:15, he says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman," talking about that serpent seed, "and between thy seed and her seed." Okay, you go to the book of Judges, chapter 2. I'm just going over these faster. You guys can always go back and look it up more if you want to. The book of Judges, chapter 2. This is what people miss out on. Why aren't they teaching? I don't know. They're not teaching people this. It's very important to understand this, especially why we were deceived as a nation for so long. We know the Father allowed them to do this, and he always put the other nations, or we can say the hybrids, against us. That was our punishment, our chastisement, so that we could come correct, family. But when you go to the book of Judges 2, chapter 2, verses 19 to 23, it lays it out to let you know you better check every single thing that they are telling you or that you have learned while you were not reading the Bible with Hebrew eyes, with understanding, without letting the rock lead you. You go to Judges 2, verses 19 to 23. I'm going to read it for you. It says, "And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and who? The children of Israel. They returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods, these angels, to serve them." And some of these gods were men, by the way. Some of these were hybrids who thought they were gods. Okay, so it says, "And to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings." These Hebrews did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn ways. "The anger of Yahuwah was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations, the hybrids, which Joshua left when he died. That through these hybrid nations, that through them, I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way to Yahuwah or of Yahuwah to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore, Yahuwah left those nations, those hybrids, without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua." We understand that there is nothing new, family. There is nothing new that we are seeing or going through as a people. But have we learned anything, family, from, you know, that this is not new or, you know, anything from our oppressor? We learned anything? What did we learn from our oppressor? Well, we've learned lies from our oppressor, family. You don't know who the oppressor is. Many of you sit in Christianity. I spoke to a woman yesterday, and she was a Christian, and I know that it's hard when you hear this truth, but it's in our Father's Word. It's very hard. You know, you could be rebellious to the truth, but who do you love more, a fable of a man or the truth of the word? So we're going to go through this, and I'm going to allow the Gentiles to speak to you, the European Gentiles who have taught you the shows that you see on TV and have grown up with and have not opened your Bible, not cracked it open one bit to see if it even checks out, family. So we have learned lies, family, from our oppressor. They have taught us that there was just one creation and we all came from Eve. Is this true? Is this true? No, it's not true. We're going to prove it. Okay, family, I'm going to have you guys take a listen to a couple of MP3s. The first one, I want everybody to open their Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. What I'm going to do was I kind of edited it for time's sake, but I left all the words in there, okay? I left all the words that were said when John Houston, and if you notice, he basically, for the first part, kept close to the scripture. But watch the second part. This is where it gets a little tricky. Watch the second part. Okay, family, I'm going to give you guys on the chat line, okay, there's a link for Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to play this MP3. I ask that everyone open their Bibles, okay? Everyone open their Bibles. Let me bring on my sister for a second. Shalom, 909, area code?
Hello, hello.
Hey, how you doing, sister? Jennifer.
Oh. Hello, hello.
I'm so glad you're here, sister.
Now I'm here.
We are just happy to be here today, and I'm glad you're on, too, because you can give me some feedback. We got some good MP3s now.
Okay.
And I'm going to begin, sister. If you don't mind, I want to get started on this because I know I take a lot of time up talking. But the first one, family, ooh, this is so small. The first one is going to go from day one to day five. Now, you open your Bibles and watch. Basically, he's very meticulous when he goes over this. It's in the Bible. Check this out, family. This is day one to five. The only thing I edited out was a lot of the music because there was a lot of music showing you pictures. I just edited out some of that. But day one to five, check this out, family.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." God called the firmament heaven. The evening and the morning, the second. God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." The gathering together of the waters called he seas, and he called the dry land earth. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life." Fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And great whales and every living creature that moved, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas." And the evening and the morning were the fifth.
Okay, I want you guys to hear that because you just went from day one to day five of creation. Sister Jennifer, what do you think so far? Is that according to the Bible, basically?
Well, according to the Word, it's all right there before us. That's one thing. We know when we read the Word. I have a feedback coming. I don't know if that's me. It's right there before us. You know, everything's laid out right before us. And as you said before, they've lied to us.
Yeah. But so far for day one to day five, of course, it's not exactly how the Bible tells it. He leaves out a couple little pieces.
Right.
But for the most part, day one through day five, it's correct. Now, what I want everybody basically to see from that is if you open your Bible up, you can follow along with the story, okay, yes, with what the Bible says, what the Father says, okay, in his word. Yes, that part was accurate. Now, we're getting ready to get to some juicy stuff here. We're getting ready to go into the sixth day. Now, this is one part that you need to really pay attention to. It's only 2 minutes and 36 seconds long. This is where we start to get a little problem. I will have you note, family, I will have you note ahead of time, pay special attention, okay? Pay special attention how they kind of like leave off certain scriptures that talk about the beast. Okay, they if you follow along in your Bible and see how they jump, okay? And it's important that you understand they left those things off. I'll go into more detail later about it, but you're going to hear them basically jump at 26 over to when you get to chapter 1, verse 26, you're going to hear them jump to Genesis 2:7, the forming of Adam. I want you to pay close attention to this. Now, from 1 to 5 day, the first 5 days, they stayed right on track. But watch what they do in this one. And this is the information that we bring out on our site when we make mention that that beast was the only thing that wasn't mentioned when they talk about what had dominion over the earth. Beast wasn't mentioned right there along with the creeping things and the fowl of the air and so forth. So just pay attention to these little bitty things because they do mean a lot in the scripture, okay? They do mean quite a bit. Now, Sister Jennifer, I hope you guys got your Bibles open.
Oh, yes, I do. You caught me off guard, sis, because I was following word by word, and I was like, but he's keeping it in context. And I was like, okay, I'm not sure what she's looking for. So far, everything's, you know, so to say, copacetic. Okay,
yeah,
but we get ready to go into the real. Okay, because you caught me off guard. I'm like, but I'm reading it. He kept pretty much on track.
But you know what, sister? You said the word. You caught me off guard. And
yes,
that is what they did to our people. It sounds like, oh, yeah, he's reading this. It's the word. It's the word. You know, they can have a production of the word. It is a blessing to us. But now you pay attention. Don't get caught off guard. Read your Bibles and follow what this man is saying. And then you're going to catch the lie and see how they were able to deceive you. I got some good stuff. I'm going to move on right now, but we're picking up, family, at the sixth-day creation, which begins at Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. So if you're at home, go ahead and open up. I'm getting ready to play it for you, and I want you to listen. It's only 2 minutes long. This is the sixth-day creation.
And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, cattle and the beast of the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became became a living soul. And God brought unto Adam every beast of the field and every fowl of the air to see what he would call them. And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. And he caused a deep sleep to fall upon them.
This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening, the morning, the sixth day.
All right. Now, all I did was edit out, family, the music to get it more condensed, because it was probably like 6-7 minutes long. I've got into 2 minutes, okay? But what you heard were the words that when they did the Broadway production of In the Beginning, okay, In the Beginning, the Bible, In the Beginning, 1966 film, and a lot of people watch this all over the world, this is what they heard. Just like when they go into a control system where someone is speaking to them and they are not opening up their book to check behind them. They are taking on the traditions of man. It's a fable. They love those fables. Now, I know, and I'll just ask Sister Jennifer. Sister Jennifer, did you hear it?
Sister Georgia was like, I was with him up to verse like 26, and then he went over to like verse 18 of chapter 2. Then he went back over again and picked up again.
Well, you know what, family? I'm going to tell you what he did, and then I'm going to let you listen to it one more time. If you have your Bibles open, now, you can't say Georgia's making up this lie. No, this is what they've done to our people. They've inserted their images. They laid open the book of the law. That's our word, that's our book. They put heathen images in it. By the way, just in case you didn't know, every single person who was in the film was a Gentile. You can get from Adam, that's Michael Parks, that's your blonde-haired, blue-eyed Adam, to Eve, Ulla Buried, I don't even know how to pronounce her name. Cain was Richard Harris. Noah was John Huston himself. Nimrod was Stephen Boyd. And guess who they picked for Abraham? George C. Scott. Now, I know you guys seen him in the movie The Exorcist and all these crazy films. He's just a rough-talking, rah-rah-rah-rah guy. He was Abraham. Sarah was Ava Gardner. Peter O'Toole was one of the three angels. Okay, they got Hagar. She was Zoe Salis. Lot's wife was Gabrielle Ferrizzi, whatever. Lot's wife was Eleanor Drago. Abel was Franco Nero. I'm not going to give you any more, but just so you know, these were the people that they chose when they opened the book of the law to go ahead and insert within our history book and deceive you with a lie. Many things were looked over, family. That's the stuff we're going to look at right now. Now, I'm just going to go over it with you, and I'm hoping that you follow along with me. When you go to part two of the six-day creation, what they do is this, and I'm going to read it for you. They put, and I'm going to read it just like they say, 24, verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and the beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so.
They completely leave out 25 that speaks. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. They left it out. They just said, and God said it was good. That's all they had of 25. Then they go right to 26, and why is it important? I should mention, why is it important that you understand that they were talking about beasts in verse 24 and in verse 25? Because when you get down to Genesis 26, it says, and let them, what was created in the image of God, we know those are the angels, but what was created in their image, it says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Well, why did they leave out the beast? Why didn't they even at least talk about Genesis chapter 24 and 25 in more detail? Well, because what was that beast that was created in Genesis 1, 26 and 27? Well, it was the male and the female. I hope I didn't confuse anybody, but that's what the beast was. You see, you have to believe that both Genesis, six-day creation of male and female, is the same exact thing as the chapter 2, the seventh-day creation of Adam and Eve. If he would have started talking about this beast more, somebody would have said, just like I told you, well, wait a minute, he named all the animals before that he named in 24 and in 25, but the beast was not mentioned. The beast was not mentioned. Okay, family, we're going to go on. By the time he got to Genesis 26, here's what John Houston said. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. From that point, he didn't read anything else. He jumped straight over to Genesis 2:7, which reads, and I'm sure everybody knows what this is, Genesis 2:7 reads, and on the seventh day, God ended all the work. Wait a minute. Okay, I'm sorry. Hold up. I don't want to get mixed up. I got it marked down in here. Yeah, Genesis 2:7. And on Genesis 2:7, when he brings up, let me go back because I'm messing myself up. I got so much writing in here. Okay, from Genesis 1, chapter 26, where it reads, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. He jumps to Genesis 2, verse 7. It reads, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. From there, he jumped over to, let's see, ooh, did I mark it? Oh, my goodness. I tried to mark it at the end. Then he jumped over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. He went from 7 to 19, and here's what it reads. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Okay? He didn't say that in the clip. It doesn't say that he formed these beasts. It just said he brought those beasts for Adam to name, whereby they are not mentioning that everything in Genesis chapter 2 was formed. Everything that was an animal was made, including the male and the female, in chapter 1 of Genesis. So there's two different things going on. So, yes, he would talk about the forming of Adam. Then he goes straight into verse 19, from 7 to 19 of chapter 2. After forming Adam from the dust of the ground, breathing into his nostrils the breath of life, they jump right to verse 19 and they say, and out of the ground, the Lord God, they didn't say all that. They just said that they brought the animals to, or the Father brought the animals to Adam, okay, to see what he would call them. From there, they went back to verse 18 and they said, and the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Didn't read all the rest of it. And this part right here, I will state it, and I believe that that's why we're having such confusion among our own people. When you get to Genesis 2, verse 18, they jump from seeing if Adam would what he would call the animals, to verse 18, which says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone." Now, it doesn't really specify, but it's important that we do specify. "I will make him," speaking of Adam, "a helpmeet for him." She was his equal. She wasn't below him. They omitted that completely out. They jumped from that man shouldn't be alone in verse 18. They jumped right back down to verse 21. They're going back and forth and back and forth. They're reading out of text because that's how you deceive a people. That's how you deceive them. You put your own words in there. You can tear the scriptures up left and right and out of sequence because, you see, you have already done a screenplay. How do you deceive the people? You got to know the beginning. You got to know how you're going to do your middle. And then you got to know the outcome that you want to achieve. So they jump from, "It is not good for man to be alone," in verse 18 of chapter 2 of Genesis, straight down to chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 21, and it says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept." That's it. They didn't tell you, family, the rest of 21, which reads, "And he took one of his ribs," which are a DNA, "and closed up the flesh instead thereof." Because, you see, Genesis 1, creation of male and female, as well as all the other animals, kept saying, "after their kind, after their kind, after their kind." So if you don't know, just like with the virginity birth, that it was out of a specific lineage, that this one person who is known as Yahushua, the Father put in flesh, okay, that he came from a man and a woman, he belongs to everybody. Just like they did here. You go down, they said, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept," period, that's all. Then all of a sudden pops up a woman. But it reads, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof." Now, they also skip verse 22, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." Now, that can't be if you read 1,000 years prior in Genesis chapter 1, the making of the male and the female was already done. But right here, it tells us that he didn't just make male and female, wait 1,000 years to actually take that female out of Adam. No, it doesn't say that. It says that Adam was formed from the dust of the ground. Those other ones were made, and they were made in the images of their creator. It tells us here that he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam and made a woman after his own kind, okay? So how did he do it? He took one of his DNA, his rib, and then he closed the flesh thereof, instead thereof. "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." Now, that is brought later on in the story. I'm not going to get into that. So then, after they go from Genesis chapter 2, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept," period, they jump straight to verse 23 of Genesis chapter 2. It reads, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh," period. That's it, period. Now, it forgets about a man is going to leave his father's mother, cleave to his wife, and they should be one flesh. Because they were the ones who, when you go down to the New Testament, they were putting those heavy burdens on people. They were asking Yahushua, "Hey, what about divorcement and all this?" And he said it wasn't like that from the beginning. We're reading about the beginning right here. They become one flesh. That wasn't in the beginning. That wasn't the plan. So they also leave out the part, "And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed." Okay? They were not ashamed. So when you leave all this out and you jump from Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh," you can go right back, family. This is what they did. You can go right back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, and read, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created he them." Now, that's 1,000 years apart. They've gone from chapter 1 of Genesis on the six-day creation, flipped it back over to chapter 2 and went back and forth and back and forth all within chapter 2, and then jump right back and say, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Then they jump, they leave all of 28, 29, and 30 out. Okay? They jump straight down to 31 and said, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning with the sixth day. That's what you just heard. Now, I'm going to play that for you guys again. I'm going to have our sister give us a little commentary after I play it the second time. And you follow along. It's only 2 minutes. You follow along in your Bibles, and you tell me if you can keep up with it. This is how they were able to destroy us as a nation, make us believe that even though the Bible clearly tells us that there will be enemies against the Most High and his people in Genesis 3:15, we can go to the book of Psalms 83, understand that these certain enemies came together to make the name of Jacob's lineage, Israel, no more into remembrance. We will be known as the hidden one. Even though many of us know that we are Kadesh people, we are set apart. We can go to the book of Joshua and Judges to figure that out. Father didn't want us mingling with these nations that he left behind because we didn't hearken to them. Wasn't the first time, and the Garden of Eden wasn't the first time. It was in that first earth age family. When they can go back and forth in the Bible like this and people don't open up their Bibles and read for what it says. I just read to you guys where it told us one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. And they can go on day six, read about a created, made being right along with the beast of the field and everything, and it was the sixth day, and then jump and start reading chapter 2 of Genesis where only Adam was formed. There was no man to till the ground. Well, Adam was formed for that. Go down a lot of verses, then you got Eve being taken from his rib because there wasn't anybody for him after his kind. They've been able to do this. So we're getting it straight, and we're letting the Gentiles speak. They're going to tell you how they have deceived you. I got more for you. Now, we're going to play this quick little clip one more time. I just want to make sure that everybody is getting it. Okay, this is your six-day creation, family. It's only 2 minutes and 36 seconds. Please listen and try to follow along in your Bible, and you tell me if that screenplay wasn't written to deceive our people and keep us destroyed as a nation.
And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, cattle and the beast of the earth after his kind. God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And God brought unto Adam every beast of the field and every fowl of the air to see what he would call them. And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. And he caused a deep sleep to fall upon.
This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening, the morning, the sixth day.
All right, Sister Jennifer, any commentary there?
Well, you know, Sister Georgia, all I can do is say they did a fine job, you know, with how they skipped around, you know, from, you know, chapter one to chapter two, and never even taking the time to tell the amount of time that took. That's a big one that many don't think about is, you know, the amount of time going from Genesis 1 to Genesis 2. But, you know, from 1:26 to 2:7 to Genesis 2:18 to back to, you know, Genesis 1:27 back to Genesis 1:31. And it's like, you know, yes, that's how the people have been deceived. You know, and really I don't have a lot to say but continue to bring, you know, the lesson so those with blinders on would understand that we're not the beast.
That's right. And, you know, they say evolution. Well, evolution because they show you a Neanderthal. We were never the Neanderthal. There was always two separate creations, but something else was evolving. What I really found interesting, family, when they got to the very last part, now they just told you, so God created man in his own image after they went to Genesis 2 with Eve being taken out. You know, or while Adam fell asleep, Eve was brought to him. They skipped out the rib. But then they fly back to Genesis 1:27, and they read, so God created man in his own image. Not even letting you know that it was the angels that created the first creation. And he made them right along with everything else that was made. Look at that word. It's only made used there. The word created means two things. You can either be formed or you can be made. But he tells us right here, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them together. Okay? So then they jump straight to verse 31. After they've gone through Genesis chapter 2, they jump right back to verse 31. And then they tell you, now remember, we're speaking of Adam and Eve in the garden. They said, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Oh, I know what I left out. They're going to get to it. They haven't gotten to that part yet. The next clip is going to go to it. But you're going to hear about Adam and Eve being told to multiply. I thought that was very interesting how they did that. And you have to understand, family, these little deceptions, will, if you can't get in the beginning what really occurred in that beginning, that's why I have to bring the first earth age to you. I'm going to have our brother come on and really dig down deep into that with you. But on the show notes, I do have more information available if you'd like to look into it further. But just so you know, we didn't just fall in that garden. The garden was a result of the first earth age fall. Okay? That's what the garden was about. That's what this whole age is about. Okay? The age began in the beginning where you don't hear about people teaching the first earth age. Now, from the beginning, and the Father start making the heavens and the earth and all these different things, that's when we enter the second earth age, which we're still in, even though they had the flood of Noah. What many people also overlook, I'm just going to mention it because you're not going to hear it within this text too much, of the version, the Bible in the beginning. You will notice that in Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. By the time you get to Genesis 2, family, if you're really paying attention, by the time you get to Genesis chapter 2, it reads, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And not just one heaven, but there's multiple heavens, and the earth were finished. This will take you and give you understanding that the book of Enoch, as well as the Apocalypse of Abraham, all these books that talk about the different layers of heaven, okay, that will give you understanding right there. From Genesis, where it talks about the heaven in Genesis chapter 1, to Genesis chapter 2, it's all done. Thus, the heavens were finished. See, all of Genesis chapter 1 straight up until the end of Genesis 1, day 6, all the heavens were done. But that man who needed to be tilling the ground was not formed yet. All the heavens, plural, and the earth, they were finished. Now the Father, on this blessed centified day, formed Adam. How can you get around that? How can you get around that? You cannot. Unless you just listen to John Houston, a 1966 clip of the Bible, with all the oppressors and those that the people from the nations that were left to deceive our people. Unless you don't know what the book of Judges chapter 2 is speaking of, that these nations that Joshua did not get rid of, they're left there to try us, to see if we were going to hearken to what our Father's word says, his commandments, or just listen to any wind of doctrine that the Gentiles spill out. So that's where we're at right now, family. I'm going to go ahead and play the next clip for you guys. This is going to get into speaking of the seventh day. Now, once again, you're going to be flying around, and you will be going back to chapter 1, so just know that, okay? You will be going back and forth between Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 1. Now, you can always listen to this MP3 later, pause it, look in your Bibles. I got it written out in my show notes the proper way. But you can also mark it and explain what they've done when you try to explain this to people. Tell them to watch this movie, The Bible. Tell them to crack open their Bible and read and see how they have deceived you. Okay, this is going to be the next clip, family. Day 7 is 4 minutes and 36 seconds long. Okay, check this out, family. Open up, and this is going to pick back up. Let me just see where I pick back up. I think it picks back up at chapter 2 of Genesis. Okay, and I believe it's on, I think they go straight to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 2. They skip out chapter 1, I believe. Let's take a listen. Okay, let's just take a listen. Here we go. This is the seventh day.
And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone.
Okay, hold up, family. I did get a little overriding with it because I want to make sure that you understood how they're jumping back and forth between chapters. So I have a little bit where he takes Eve from Adam and brings Eve to Adam. So it's going to pick back up in chapter 2, but it's what you've already heard, then it's going to go into the new material.
And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. And he caused a deep sleep to fall upon them. He slept. And God made a woman and brought her unto the man. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening, the morning, the sixth day. God rested from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Eastward in Eden, God had planted a garden. And he said, "Go into the garden I have made, tend it and keep it. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply."
All right. Now, I know that was probably really wacky to try to follow along with because they went everywhere. Sister Jennifer, what are your thoughts?
That's funny because that's what I just wrote. I wrote, you know, I skipped all over the place. Oh, well, I mean, Sister Georgia, what can I say? I don't know what you expect me to say because these are, you know, other than maybe a bad word. Cause, you know, such deception. I mean, and you know how foolish we've been, you know, to listen to the teachers and not open our scriptures ourselves. But, yeah, they went from, oh, gosh, Genesis 2:23, okay, and then 1:27. Then he talked about it was very good. Then he went to the seventh day. Then he went to be fruitful and multiply. And I'm like, oh, boy, I got to really put my thinking cap on because I understand all of it, but I've never really watched the Bible. And, boy, what a deception to those that would watch it. I mean, they'd be utterly confused.
Hey, well, let me put it this way to our family members who are listening. Those people who are sitting in religious institutes, if they're bringing you something that is supposed to be according to Scripture, because they went along with Scripture for the first 5 days, no doubt. But now when they get to the creation of the male and the female and the forming of Adam and Eve and what took place as far as what the Father told each and every one of them separately, and who was given the breath of life and all this stuff. When you speak things and you are not going along Scripture, you're doing oral. This is oral word. That's why the Father says, as is written. Okay, that's how they were able to deceive our people with that pagan image of Jesus. Because as is written, that's not what he looked like. Just like when the Jews claimed to be at the bottom of Mount Sinai, oral. This was the oral laws. Well, they can tell you whatever they want to. I hope you see that through the English language and through the interpretation of the enemy, that same enmity was still there when we were under slavery. And many of us today just assume because we have been taught that white is all right, and they know. They have taught us their lies through oral traditions. And that's all you saw for this film was the oral tree. It gets better. Oh, it gets way better. But we're just talking about these two creations today. I got more. It reminds me of what the Jews did. They tell you oral oral traditions that are, they got the oral word at the bottom of Mount Sinai where they were given a special message. The Father ain't dealing with nothing oral. He's dealing with as is written. So now when we look at what they've just given us, when they ended the sixth day, that was the last thing we heard about. We jump straight over to Genesis chapter 2, and it picks up at chapter 2, verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. Okay, letting you know it's something made there. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. But according to John Houston, he already formed Adam and Eve. They were already formed and given the Ruach. That, you don't hear about that right there, but that's where they pick up after they tell you all that lie. The Bible reads, on the seventh day, Yahuwah ended his work which he had made. And he rested on this seventh day, 1,000 years later, from all the work which he had made. Not formed, but made. They jump over, and then they go straight to verse 3. They only read, and they say, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. That's it. Now, little did they go further with Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, it would have said, and God blessed the seventh day, he sanctified it. And it goes more. It says, because that in it he had rested from all his work which Yahuwah created and made. That word made is so strongly stressed, but they do not go into it. So from letting you know that God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, then they jump straight over. They jump straight over and they say that he had rested from the work that he had made. I think they say that. I'm not sure. I got a couple of my notes mixed up. But then it says they pick up right, family. They pick right up at verse 8 after he blessed the seventh day. And it says, and the Lord God planted a tree eastward in Eden. Now, somewhere along the line, they completely forgot to read verse 7, which says, and Yahuwah formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Because, see, they've already told you that for, that's verse chapter 1. Chapter 1, the six-day creation. And we have believed a lie. But that's not what the Bible says. And that's what they have been teaching our people in churches as well as in these movies. It's all the same thing. Our Father just tells us, hey, family, I read that. I'm not going to look it up, but I read that for you. One day with the Father is 1,000 years for man. We're talking about what happened on the sixth day creation of male and female versus what our Father reads to us is that there was a man that was formed on a sanctified, a blessed, it's a Shabbat day. His name was Adam. He was given the Ruach, okay, the Holy Spirit. He was given the breath of life and became a living soul. It wasn't until way later Eve was formed from his DNA. But you see, when you do that, and you just go from, you've already told a tale, now you're jumping into Genesis 2, and you just talk about this garden that was planted eastward in Eden, because you already believe that that male and female that he created at the same time was Adam and Eve, not even reading the Bible, you can be deceived. So after they give us that lie, and I'm going to pick out some things that you guys should really need to pay attention to. After it says, it goes to verse 8, it says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. It didn't read, and there he put the man whom he had formed. They left that verse out altogether because, see, the word form isn't there. You can't see that this one particular man was formed. They got to leave those verses out. They jumped to verse 11, but listen what they leave out here. I don't know if you caught it. It says, verse 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. They left out the verse, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden. Why did they leave that verse out and just told you about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? They left out the tree of life, the most important tree. Family, go back to the archives and listen to that part, okay? You're going to hear them leave out in verse 9, right after they talk about the Lord God in verse 8, planted a garden eastward in Eden, They jump straight to talking about, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and then jump to the tree of knowledge and good and evil also. They jump to that. From there, let me see where else they went here. Okay, from there, family, they jump to, back up to you got to go back to the first Genesis, first chapter in Genesis, you have to go back to 28. That's where, after they form the garden, Adam and Eve are in the garden, then they pick up with verse 28 of Genesis chapter 1. This is your six-day creation of male and female, but they say it's Adam and Eve. Then they say, and God bless them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Well, in order to be fruitful and multiply, that commandment is given because you will die off. You need to replenish the earth. Okay? You need to keep creating more like you. But when we go to chapter 2 of Genesis, with the Adam and Eve that was formed, after the heavens and the earth were completed, okay, and that was all completed on the sixth day. After all that was completed, we read about the formation of Adam. Adam, and then Eve was made from his DNA, which they don't really tell you that. But it never tells them to go ahead and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. It never tells Adam and Eve to multiply. But it did tell Genesis chapter 1 of the male and female, along with all those animals, to, hey, 28, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. So that multiply and fruitful, they just tell you that Adam and Eve, they're the parents to everybody on this earth. Because, see, they were to be fruitful and multiply. That's how all these nations got here. They took out the first book of Adam and Eve to let you know there was two separate creations there. Even when people get to the part where it tells Cain to go out and get him a wife, where did he get a wife from? Don't say he said, come on, sister, let's go out here. I want you to go run ahead of me, and I'm going to run as fast as I can to get to you because I'm going out there to get you so I can find me a wife. It don't say that. It said he left, and he went and found him a wife. Okay? So you see, family, when you really look at the scriptures, and I do have the longer version. Maybe one day I'll play it just in case you want to hear it all. I don't know if you cannot, if you don't have a, I don't know. You could probably take this at the movie. Rent the movie yourself and listen to it. You got to listen to the whole thing because we're going to get into some very tricky parts. I'm going to continue on. I want you to hear them. I also made a little bit after the seventh-day creation, okay, a little bit after, because it's going to lead into another part that I'm going to be showing you. I got more. I mean, the deception throughout this film is very wicked. It's very, very wicked, family. Sister Jennifer, before I play anything, would you like to say anything?
No, just again, I say we're not the beast.
No.
They want you to think we're the beast, and it's in our faces all the time, Sister George. It's there, you know, that when they always talk about, you know, the six, you know, the number of man. They know who the number of man is. Mankind. Mankind. We're not mankind. We're man.
That is so good to point. I'm glad you pointed that out. I'm glad you pointed that out. I'm going to play this, family, for you guys because I see time is running short here. We're going to take questions afterwards, family. I'm going to open it up in a second here. But first, I got a little sneak peek for the next show. But I want you to tell me what you hear. This is only a minute long. This is right after he told them about the tree of knowledge. Well, the only tree that was spoken of in this film is the knowledge of good and evil, that tree. So he told them about this tree. Okay, now check out what happened. This, you can hear, when you hear the little whispers, you hear the little serpent talking. The talking serpent, of course, which they teach you. There was a talking serpent in the garden. So you're going to hear this talking serpent speak to Eve. Now, we know the truth of what really happened in that garden. Now, if you didn't know the truth, and if you believe that there was an apple or even some kind of fruit that she actually ate, that she had to put fig leaves on her private parts and on Adam's, if you believe that lie, just listen to this audio clip and tell me if they're not letting you know the truth of what happened in that garden. Take a listen, family. This is only about a minute long.
half, God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden.
We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of this tree, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Jennifer, what do you think? What do you think occurred in that garden by what you heard? Oh, hold up, sister. I'm sorry. I put you on mute just not to hear, have irritation, any kind of noise, because this was a quiet one. What do you think, Sister Jennifer? I just opened up your mic. What do you think occurred?
Might they have got sexually involved?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Now, I might be wrong, but, you know, that's my belief, that they, you know, like Marvin Gaye said, they got it on.
Well, you know what, sister? We're going to play that one more time. Everybody listens to how she reacts from so-called eat that piece of apple. Now, we know the truth that there was sex in the garden because Genesis 3:15 tells us that. Okay, check this out, family. This is, one more time, this is the sex of the garden. They're telling you that this is the sex. The whole film tells you the truth if you know what you're looking for. Check this out.
Half, God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden.
We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of this tree, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Now, I don't recall a piece of fruit making you go, I don't recall that. Now, if I'm mistaken, family, I don't recall that. But if you truly know what happened in the garden, according to Scripture, you understand that more than eating a piece of fruit caused their eyes to be open. Because I will take you somewhere really quickly. I'm going to take you to Genesis 3. Okay, by the time you get down to Genesis 3, I'm taking you right there right now. I'm going to give everybody the link just so they can follow along with us. Those at home, open up to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, here we go, here we go, here we go. There's your link. Go to Genesis 3, go down to about verse, let's see, where do I want to pick this up at? Okay, remember, they didn't tell you anything about them being ashamed to be naked, first of all, in Genesis chapter 2. By the time you get down to, let's see, verse 9, let's pick up at verse 9. Now, after they had done this thing, okay, Adam and Eve had hearkened to the word of the serpent. After they had committed this act, which Eve gave you a very good example on the Bible, okay, in the beginning, she went, you know, not to make fun of her, but that's what she did. The Father comes in, he says unto Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Verse 11, Father says, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? So that's saying that they now were ashamed that they were naked. They didn't tell you any of that stuff. They don't even talk about the father in this movie. Okay. So when you go a little further, just a little bit, verse 13, and it talks about, and Yahuwah said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, you would think because they talk about a piece of fruit that she is actually eating a piece of fruit. They don't want to let you know that it was not the first creation. This was in a spiritual realm. She didn't eat a piece of fruit. Angels can eat, but they don't have to eat. They were walking with the Most High in the garden, the tree of life, which is Yahushua was there. This is a spiritual realm, family. There was no need for eating. So her eyes were not open. Her and Adam's eyes were not open. But what does the father say? After the woman says that the serpent beguiled me, in verse 14 it says, and Yahuwah said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this. Okay? Because thou hast done this. Thou art cursed above all cattle. Hey, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. Get off your feet now. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. And dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, this is talking about what was the seed of the woman. If you believe that we all came from Eve, even though it tells you Cain was of that wicked one, but if you believe we all came from Adam and Eve, then you will believe this lie. If you believe there was only one creation out there, this means nothing to you. This is why it isn't really pronounced when they teach it to you in the churches. Because there were two actual seeds. That's why you have the genealogy of Cain in chapter 4 and then the genealogy of the woman in chapter 5. The genealogy of the woman with Adam. Abel was dead, so he wasn't in there. And then Seth, there's no Cain in there. You can go to the New Testament, it picks it back up and leads it right straight to Yahushua. But see, you are supposed to believe that there's only one creation, although that they have twisted up scripture back and forth to give you that perception. This is the perception that you have been given because many of our people choose to listen to the traditions of men. They do not want to understand that when they read the curses, it's you. They don't want to understand why it is that they're in the condition they are, because they're underneath the curses, not because they come from the lineage of Ham, but because we as a nation did not hearken to our father's word. He said, I'm leaving those nations right there to prove Israel. Who is Israel? Go back to Psalms 83. These other nations got together and to make the name of Israel no more in remembrance. We're the hidden ones right now. Hidden why? Because our father tells us in Jeremiah 17:4, you will discontinue from your heritage. Go back to Deuteronomy 28, learn what happened to you. He said he was going to, the father said he's going to bring a nation, these hybrids, a fierce nation, fierce countenance, of whose tongue you could not understand. Why do you think when you came in those slave ships, they started trying to give you crazy names, bywords as names? They didn't keep your Hebrew names. You were not allowed to read. By the time you were allowed to read, boom, you were taught a different doctrine. You were taught there's just one creation because the serpent seed has to hide out. The hybrids have to hide out. As many levels of these hybrids, it's not just one. And please don't get upset if you are from the other nations, but it's the word. So from there, quickly, I want everybody to hear this in case I have a new listener on the line. It's very important. Family, do you think that this was a mistake? Do you think that it just happened that they taught us this lie? Well, let's listen from the horse's mouth real quick.
We know what we've done to you. And we know what over 500 years we've put in your head. And we know how to utilize that. And we know how to take advantage of that. And we know how to take advantage of that.
And we know how to take advantage of that.
Christianity has been misused for hundreds of years to keep your people in subjugation. And I'm speaking now a reality that the history books do not record, but history does. Christianity was used because if I said, okay, you don't believe the way I believe, and Christianity is the best way to believe, so I'm going to take you, and it's going to be for your own good, honey. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to tear away everything about you and just keep your hands and your feet because they can help me. But I'm going to do this for your own good because I'm going to give you a God. Christianity has been misused for hundreds of years to keep your people in subjugation. And I'm speaking now a reality that the history books do not record, but history does. Christianity was used because if I said, okay, you don't believe the way I believe, and Christianity is the best way to believe, so I'm going to take you, and it's going to be for your own good, honey. It's going to be for your own good. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to tear away everything about you and just keep your hands and your feet because they can help me. I'm getting off. But I'm going to do this for your own good because I'm going to give you a God. Now, what does that God look like? The reality of it is when he came here, he didn't look like me. So what am I going to do about that? I'm going to make him look like me. So now I'm going to give you a God, but I'm going to do that in a way that is going to further me. So I'm going to give you a God that looks like me, so that when you bow down to that God, you're bowing down to me. See, so that we've done that. We've given your people a God that looks like me, so that you don't have any qualm about bowing down to me. See, because this is the image of God. I don't know of any sin that we've committed that's greater than that one. And we did it with the Bible in our hands when we were beating your ancestors for looking at us eye to eye. And we're quoting to them from this scripture. Even if we allowed them to have their own ministers, which there wasn't many of because we didn't allow them to read. But if we said, okay, you can have your church. This is my plantation. I'm going to do what I want with it. You can have your church. But then spies were sent. And those spies would stand outside the church, and that man would be beaten, perhaps killed, if he preached anything other than three sermons. And those three sermons were turn the other cheek, obey your master, and it's going to get better one of these days. God's going to take care of all of it. You're going to be in a happy, happy land. So put up with what you're putting up with now. We know what we've done to you. And we know what over 500 years we've put in your head. And we know how to utilize that. And we know how to take advantage of that. And we know how to take advantage of that.
And we know how to take advantage of that.
And we made your people preach that to your people. And it's still being done. It's still being done.
All right, family, we have 2 minutes left if you'd like to join us on the call-in line, because the chat line is getting ready to go off the web, but you can still stay on. I have a couple more things to go over with you guys. You need to go ahead and switch over right now, or you might not get in. The number is 646-595-4111. Now, family, if you don't know who the oppressor is, if you don't know which nations are which, if you don't even know that you're the chosen people, then when we get up to verse 20 of Judges 2, and the father, Yahuwah, was hot against Israel, his people, he said, because that this people had transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out. I will henceforth not drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. Joshua threw them giants out of there, them hybrids. That through these giants I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of Yahuwah to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not. Therefore, what did Yahuwah do? He left those hybrid nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered them into the hands of Joshua. So, family, when we get down to this information, and you have just heard a testimony of a Gentile lady telling you, we know what we did. You think the only thing they did was hide that we're the Hebrew people? You better wake up. You better wake up, family. No, that's not all that was done to our people. Now, we have about 35 seconds left. I want to thank everybody who joined us on the web and will not be joining us on the it looks like almost everybody's there. Oh, goody. Okay, well, our lines are packed. I want to thank everybody for coming and joining us today. I want everybody to have a blessed Shabbat. If I can get part two together tonight, I will go ahead, family, and have a show tomorrow. If not, I'll have it at a later date. But, hey, very interesting. Hey, Shabbat Shalom, family. Have a blessed weekend, probably until tomorrow. Sister Jennifer.
Yes, Sister Georgia.
Any thoughts on any of the information that we have gone over today?
Well, you know, Sister Georgia, everybody, you know, learns differently, you know, or when I say learns differently, there may be, you know, you say something, you know, we've had Brother Neil say things at times, I've said things at times, and, you know, different people say things different way, and they go, oh, I get it that way, you say something a certain way. Well, the way, you know, I look at it is, the signs are all around us, but oftentimes people are so sleek they don't even see the signs, you know. And then I talk with people, you know, they have no idea of what's going on around them. So when you really understand what you've taught tonight, you know, Genesis 1 and 2, the deception of the Bible movie, sex in the garden, you know, and even reading and keeping in context where even Eve said, you know, Yahuwah has given me a man. Who has a baby and says that Father has given them a man? You know, if we keep all that in context and use our, you know, set-apart mind, we understand that we were formed or the lineage that we came from is different from 6th day and the 7th day. And so I don't know, it's like if you understand the symbols on the DirecTV, if you understand the symbol that's on the front of Toyota Celica, if you understand, the Toyotas, not Celica necessarily, the Toyotas, if you understand the bull, you know, on the car, just the symbols are all around us, or even the phallus in, you know, Washington or whatever, they're all around us. Well, why? Why are they so taken with sex, and why are they so taken with the male phallus? What is it? Well, we know. So the symbols are there, though. It's right in front of us. It's always there. And then when it comes to a statement you made, they did so much to us. Well, we know Margaret Sanger was put in place, and I mean, we could go on, and the virgin birth, and the deception of breaking of bread, communion, like drinking blood, which we were told not to do. And, I mean, on and on and on. And then we have family members, they just can't get it around their head that this deception is, you know, in the midst of us even now. Not yesterday, now. So You know, I pray family gets it because you break it down very well, Sister Georgia. You actually, you know, do a great job, and I hope family, you know, understands that, you know, I love Sister Georgia, and I don't say she does a great job because I love her. I've listened to other sites, and one guy said something so deep. He said, they're trying to make us all the time and take dust and the earth and make us. But he doesn't get that the first Genesis 1. He doesn't get that the created or the made. You know, so he understands that they're trying to make people like us, Hebrews, but he doesn't understand. So when you're listening to Sister Georgia, I understand you have a teacher that's very thorough, and she's really, really bringing things that may make you dizzy because you're thinking, you mean this is where I live? Well, all I can tell you is take the blue pill. Disconnect from the matrix and take the blue pill because it's an awesome place to be.
Very well said. Thank you, sister. Very well said. I have more, but I'm going to open up the call-in line right now because I do have a caller online. If anybody would like to, you know, make a statement, ask a question, if I didn't say something clearly or if you didn't understand what went on just now with the MP3s I was playing, now is your time to call. Just push the number one button. I'll see your hand up, and I'll get to you. I'm going to take the first caller, and I think I know who this caller is. Okay, Shabbat Shalom, 757.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
My salon. Yeah, I was very, I don't even know where he began. So many morsels being brought out, but but when you was talking about the first earth phase, that was very well said. But the things that, you know, that they, another thing that they hide from us is the technology point of view. Like all the, like the internet and the iPods and all these things. Those are primitive to compared to the technology that was in the first earth phase. I mean, we, the technology that was...
Uh-oh, he was dropped. That was Brother Michael, you guys. He told me last time he wanted to make a statement, he got dropped off the caller line. He can't call back in, so he was dropped.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, he was getting ready to get into some good stuff, probably the first Earth Age there for us, but he was dropped. Anybody else want to call in, push number one, and I'll see that you want to ask a question or make a statement. Don't worry, family. They can drop them off two in a row, but we're going to have them on for a whole show one day, okay? And we're going to get to that first Earth Age. We have another caller. I believe this is Brother Neil. Let me go ahead and open up his mic and see what he has to offer to the pot. Shabbat Shalom, 678. Brother Neil?
Hey, Shabbat Shalom.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you, Sister Jennifer? Uh-oh. Sister Jennifer, you still there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
You know what? I just want to say this. You really, my spirit is just jumping up and down and glittering off this show.
Well, good. That's the right reaction.
You just gave me ideas for like four, at least five more shows, some things I didn't see before.
It's in the Word.
You know, I hate the brother that was just on went off because I really feel like he had something to say. But I'm
too, Brother Neil. I do too.
Right.
I felt like he had something to say.
Yeah. I'm going to say something real quick, and I've been sharing this with friends of mine and other people, and they just not getting it. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not putting it out there right. I want to say something real quick because he mentioned technology, and for some reason, for like the past, technology has been on my mind. And it's been like a, you know, how you're on the fence on something. It's like, where do I really stand? Some days I feel like this, some days I feel like that. Is technology good or is technology bad? And I had to think, and I'm trying to think of a way to make this short because I don't want to tie the time. But if you really think about it, I'm going to ask you guys a question because I'm going to throw out two questions. I'm going to get to the point. When we go to McDonald's or when we go to – no, forget McDonald's. Scratch that. When we go to Kroger, we buy food. We buy chicken, beef, fish, pork, whatever, you know, whatever you get. Where does that come from?
Where does the food come from?
Yeah, where does the food come from?
Well, right now, everything is processed. And it's not only processed, but it's hibernized.
Think about what I'm saying. I'm asking, I ain't asking who processed it. I'm asking, where does it come? Where does the chicken come from? Where does the cow come from? Where does
farmers?
The fish come from? They existed in that garden. Everything that we buy, I guess this is where I'm going. Everything we buy are things that God made. Purdue ain't made no chicken. We're paying for that technology and that industrialization because Satan can't make nothing. He can only give it to you in another wrapping. And what I'm saying to that is this. You buy a house. It's bricks and wood. Why I can't go out here and just cut down trees and dig up some bricks and make my own? They won't let me. Everything God gave us in that garden to have, they found a way to take it. They took over God's garden, and they sell it back to us, even down to electricity. You get these $600-$700 electricity bills. Electricity exists all around us in the air all the time in ions. All Benjamin Franklin did was figure out something was there that he couldn't see, and they found a way to harness it and sell it back to us. God put it there. They ain't made nothing. They're selling us back what God put in the garden originally. And that's kind of why I was going with the technology. We work these jobs, we work hard, and we barely making it paying for technology to buy stuff that comes out of the earth by itself. Chickens, Purdue ain't made no chicken. Georgia Power ain't made no electricity. Natural gas people ain't made no gas. They found out to give it back to us. They selling us back what God put for here for us for free. And I don't think a lot of people get that concept.
Brother Neil, I get it. I get it. I was thinking about that yesterday. I was talking to the father about how we pay for water. We have water bills. I said the same thing on the order yesterday to my niece about, isn't this ridiculous? We're paying for water. We all have a water bill from $40 to maybe $100 a month. And father gave us the water, and we are paying for what he freely gave us.
Let me share with you a conversation I had with somebody briefly. I had the same conversation about a water bill with somebody that's caught up into the world in case he'd be on this matrix. And I'm saying, dude, we paying for water. It fall out the sky for free. It just fall out the sky. It just fall the hell out the sky. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And their comment to me was this, well, you know, they got the process and they got to do this stuff that we paying for. I'm like, you just can't see it. Because two things are going on now. Let's just assume for the sake of this conversation, Earth is Adam and Eve was 7,000 years ago for the sake of this conversation. So for at least 6,900 years, up until about 100 years ago, because my grandparents had a well, and the water that fell out of the sky didn't hurt nobody. It didn't have to be processed. And they actually lived longer than us because my grandfather chewed tobacco and smoked and lived older than everybody in my family. My point is this. They tricking you saying, well, we got to fix it. They ain't had to fix it for 6,000 years. Why they gotta fix it now? You know why they fix it now? They taxing us to fix it because you know why? If you look at your water company, if you look at all your industrial, their technology, what do they post up? They post up on the water lines. In Georgia, they post up on the Chattahoochee River, and they dump all their waste in it. And they charge us to fix the water they messed up by dumping their waste in it. That's what they charging us for the process.
Yep.
Ain't nothing wrong with this water.
That's right.
They pay for what they're doing to charge us for their technology. God made a world and Satan made a world on top of it saying, I can make it better. Let me give you technology. We got kids 14 years old, 200-300 pounds. They don't even go outside no more. You know why? They text messages. They're on Facebook. They're on this and that, but they're enjoying the devil's kingdom, his technology, and we're paying out the heart for it. We're paying to live in his kingdom. You know what? His kingdom is too expensive.
Right. That's what the Father gave to us freely, and we are definitely paying for it. Hey, I got to take another caller here. Hold on, Brother Neil. Hold on. You're still on. Let me just open up this other mic here. Hold on 1 second. I got a Skype caller, 111, Shabbat Shalom. Hello, you're on Skype, 111.
Hello?
Hello, how you doing?
oh, I must have hit it by mistake, but that's okay.
Who am I speaking to?
This is Winnetta.
Well, hello, sister. How you doing?
Hi, how you doing? I didn't know that I had hit one, but when I was listening, because I listened to it prior to the lesson tonight, the clip that you gave us about the Bible, and I had already seen how he had jumped from one, you know, how he was jumping all over the place and leaving out very important parts, you know, and I think what he did is he started trying to maneuver a little early on when Genesis 1 to make it seem like he was trying to cut it down. But in fact, what he was doing, like you said, he was leaving out very, very important parts of the scripture in reference to the formation and the actual creation. So it was, you know, and it was like 1966. I'm like, wow, I don't even remember that movie ever being made or anything like that, you know. But that was a good video that you were able to get your hands on and share with us. It was very, very informative, you know.
We got more, though. If you watch that whole movie, The Bible, I'm going to try to bring out part two to you. We're going to get into Cain. We're going to get into Noah. We're going to get into Abraham. Different parts. We're going to get into, they actually even show you the serpent seed. They show you the mark of Cain. They tell you whose child he was. If you really watch that clip, I'm going to try to get that together for tomorrow. But, when we think about how it is that we just continue from being a nation, when we came underneath the oppressor and got a religion from them, a man-made religion called Christianity, whereby they just put anybody as the Father's people and just tell you you just have to accept his name, which they don't realize that there were Hebrews who were called Gentiles as well, because the New Testament tells you that Yahushua, the world calls Jesus. They said Yahushua came but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he also came in his Father's name to do his Father's will. That reverts you right back to Old Testament. So
right.
With the books that they have taken out, letting you know that there was a split of the kingdoms, and that when they engrafted the other ones back in, the other Hebrews who went astray, go to the book of Judges, get the understanding that many of our people, right after the judges would die off and the elders would die off, that a generation or two later, they forgot the Father. So by the time you get to the New Testament.
Yeah, well, you know, I was never into Christianity. So that, you know, again, you know, it was just, you know, how my mother never made us go to church or anything. It was my grandmother who kind of had us going to church. But once we went back with my mother, we never went to church. And this was at a very, very young age. I mean, we would go like Easter. But, of course, we only went because you got new clothes. You know, it was never a thought process. But I always knew that something was not right. You know, I knew something was not right because I used to always say to myself, even when I was younger, it has to be more than this. It just can't be that you're just born, you just die, and, you know, and that's just it. And why would it be slavery? Why would people, you know, want to do this to another people? Then when I did start reading the Bible, I knew right away in Genesis that something was wrong, because I even asked around, what about these two things? It is two different things going on here in Genesis. But nobody didn't give me a sign, you know what I'm saying, a legitimate answer. And then I used to always point out, but wait a minute, it said that Cain went and dwelt in the land of Nod. So how could there already have been a place established, you know? And people, oh, no. Well, somebody told me the answer to that was, oh, no, when Noah was telling the story, that's just the place that's the name that he gave. And I said, but that doesn't make any sense. You know, it doesn't make any sense. So I knew something was not right in reference to that about Cain. I knew it wasn't no apple. I knew it could have been no serpent, you know, talking to a woman. In my heart, I knew it. I just did not get, you know, and nobody could, like, really explain it or tell it, but apparently the Father has, this is your talent that the Father has given you, because, you know, and I too listen to other Hebrew sites, and, you know, some people have different talents and certain things that, that the Father gives them, but the Father definitely has given you this particular talent to break it down to us in reference to what is going on about these hybrids and the Nephilim. Because I remember I read a whole book in reference to the Anunnakis and all that kind of stuff, you know. So in a lot of the books I've read, the 13th tribe and all that kind of stuff years ago, but Yah has definitely given you this talent of the way you break it down. You're very detailed. You show proof. You know, you're not fumbling over things. And I also wanted to tell you that I like what you did and what you stated on the new website about when people are putting things on there, not to use those terms, God, Lord, Jesus, and things like that, you know. So that was a good thing also. But you're doing a good job, Sister Georgia. So you're truly blessed. I have to give it to you. You really are.
I'm glad you said that, because I thought some people may be offended by me saying that, because I know that we have many people who go to many different Hebrew sites, and they all say different Hebrew names. I don't have a problem with that. But when you get down to the word God, Lord, and Jesus, we already know those are titles. So
exactly.
If we got new people coming on, and right on the front page, it tells them to break down the names. We definitely know that the Father is going to give us a pure language. But for now, we definitely know it's not God, Lord, and Jesus.
Right, so, and you have to stick to the foundation of it, and that's what you're teaching, and that's what other people are coming in, and they're looking at your website, and then there's other people put it. It causes confusion, because it's then like, well, what is it that she believes? Well, then why would, you know, are people saying you're allowing people to put, so when you put that up there, because I was going to send you an email but a while back, but when I saw it, you know, got it in the email, I said, see, hold your tongue, and just, you know, I was saying to myself, see, hold your tongue, and just wait, because she did the right thing.
Well,
so you absolutely did.
I thank you. And now since you brought that up, sister, I did want to, if anyone from our website is listening, our family members, I did do a clearinghouse. I'm not done yet. But someone was accidentally taken off, and I want to get to that person, because usually they call in, but they never really talk too much. Francister Jennings, you were actually taken off. Okay, I'm so sorry. You were actually taken off. So would you please rejoin the site? Okay, sometimes you guys, I get so many different names that sound exactly the same as another member, and I get them confused, and later I say, oh boy, I got the wrong one. So I'm just letting you know. But yes, we're trying to really get the site for those who are really serious about the Father, about His Word, about learning additional information, but as a bonus to the Father and to the ministry to help support us. Because we can't be on, you know, I want to say just by looks, but somebody will take that wrong, but your looks ain't going to get you nowhere. They don't pay the bills.
Right.
You know, and it's very important, because I think people have, and I was talking to a friend today, talking about this one thing. I said, you know, our people have gotten into the condition where we've seen all these Jim Jones and all these crazy cults come out, that when they do come out of Christianity, you know, most of them are afraid. They've heard, okay, well, you know, you get a different doctrine. Not only are you getting a different doctrine, but, hey, you're trying to be like the church. The church, you know, asking for tithes. We're not asking for tithes. We're just saying simply what the scripture says. You know, you're supposed to, everybody who is a family member is supposed to keep the word going. And I do not drive jet planes or have my own personal bodyguards or have limousines or many jets. I don't have different services all over the world at the same day with my jet. I don't do that. But we do have to keep the word going. So I want to stress that, because a lot of people who come onto our site, they don't understand that everything that I do put onto our website, I've already said. I usually give all the links, all the information that I'm taking it from. It's just that everything's already pre-done by me, and the links and the sublinks and so forth. You know, Black Talk charges you. Hey, I put it for free. That's something I can give to the people. Like I also put on there, and it's very important that people understand this. You know, if I say something, I don't mind. You know, if a person is scared to come on our shows and ask a question, I don't mind answering those questions off air because I know not everybody, and I don't mean the whole website to get me at one time, but you know what I'm saying? If you really have a question and it's something that you need further explanation on that I've already spoken of, hey, call me, and I will give you, you know, message me. I'll give you my number. You call me, and we'll talk about it. So these are things that, you know, for those people who are helping us out, I'm trying to find other ways as well because, you know, I want to make sure that the word, the truth of the word gets out. I'm going to be working on getting the magnetic, I call them, what you call it, the cards that you give out. Well, I can't think what you call the cards. Anybody help me out on this word? What's the card?
I don't know. What is it you're using it for?
It's to have a website on it. You pass out.
Okay.
What do you call those cards?
Oh, just your business cards or your...
There you go.
Yeah,
it's
going to
be a business card, but I found a website that will make them, like what you can put on your refrigerator. So trying to give some of those to pass out to the people who, you know, are helping us along and giving them freebies they can put on their own refrigerator, you know, possibly getting a calendar, just information that also gives our website as well as our shows so that people can start, you know, attending and hearing what the Father says according to the word, not according to any person's personal interpretation of what they believe the word is, but we're going to go straight from the Bible and let the Bible speak itself. So I do appreciate that because I know a lot of people, when they come onto our site, if we don't specify that we do not use the word God, Lord, or Jesus, they're going to wonder what they're doing. And I try to explain why we don't use it. So I try to get those videos up so people can look into them, you know. And I'm going to add all that also to the website information when people are new and want to find out what we're about. So I'm going to put all that information that I gave you guys. I'm going to also add that. So I thank you, though, sister. I really thank you because you just shed a lot of light on a lot of things that somebody might have needed to hear.
Right. Yeah, well, that's, you know, but again, I'm always listening, so after I can't wait for you to come on. So, you know, I was doing something early tonight, and after 10 o'clock, I got to be in that house, you know.
Well,
so,
you know what, I'm glad that, you know, the Father's word means that much to you. I really am glad because we all got to take it seriously, family. And we do, you better believe it, we get on this mic, we did our homework.
Mm-hmm.
We've researched that word, and we'll give you everything we have, so... I mean, because you have to feel comfortable, and this is just a basis. I'm just showing you this and that, but you go further with it. There's a lot more stuff, even for today's lesson, that I could have gone into, family. I did not because of time's sake, but in the notes, you'll probably find that extra information there. So, but we're going to do a part two. We got to do a part two because there was too much in that movie. And that movie was very important. That's a key thing, family, because you got to understand that many of us are visual creatures. Many of us do hear and do take in by hearing. So if you're seeing something and you're hearing it, although it's not the true word, but this is what you're constantly being fed in churches and school systems. Oh, the apple, yeah, the garden. Two by two, those animals went on the ark when the Bible tells you there was two of every unclean and seven of every clean. You know, and then when you watch these movies and see how satanic the characters are and how, and that's the best way to say it. They were very satanic in this movie. And I'm gonna let you listen to it. Next show we do, I'm going to pinpoint them, and then I'm going to put the pictures on my pictures that you guys get to view. You see the mark of Cain where they're telling you who he was. He was a serpent seed in Genesis chapter 4. He was also the one that the Father was speaking of in Genesis 3:15.
So, yeah, I saw that little mark, but I couldn't make out what it was. I was what is that?
You know? They show you the serpent seed also later on in the movie. I'm gonna bring all this to everybody. I'm gonna play the clip so you can hear it, and I'm gonna put a picture out. I'm gonna try to put the words on there so everybody knows exactly what they're looking at. But then I'm gonna explain to them. And really, what everybody's gonna have to do after we go over this particular show, you're gonna have to go and get a copy. And after you understand what they've done, go get a copy and watch that through. Watch them actually perform this. It is me. I can only give you the audio here, you know, and I can tell you what they did, but you got to watch it. And then you'd be amazed. especially if your eyes are open to already knowing that you're the Hebrews, and if you've already understood that, yes, there was two creation, yes, there was a serpent seed on this earth, and yes, there were hybrids. There wasn't just one incursion of those hybrids. I understand the book of Judges, that those nations are not gone anywhere. The Nephilim never left. They're here, and they're here to try us. And when you get into Christianity thinking that you know all the truth, maybe you're the one with a different gospel. If you know that Deuteronomy tells us in Deuteronomy 28 that they would be our oppressors, that they would be the ones we'd have to get everything we needed from them. So, you know, the word is out there, and I really like it. I know people were laughing on the chat line tonight when I played that clip. We know what we've done to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's deep too. I mean, that's really something that, you know, she came out and you know, she spoke about it, but you know, my mother, she's 78 years old now. But I asked my mother, I said, "Mother, you know," because that's what we always call her. We didn't say mommy or mom, you know, said mother. And I was talking to her one day, and I said to her, "Do you know that we, you know, the scripture is about us? We the true Hebrews?" And she said to me, "Yeah." And I said to her, "Well, yeah." I said, "Well, you knew?" She said, "Baby, nobody could break down and tell you about the children of Israel like your great-great-great aunt." She said, "I remember when I was a little girl how they used to get up. It used to be 12 of the young black men, and each one used to stand up and say, 'I'm from the tribe of Judah. I'm from the tribe of Levi.'" I said, "Really?" She said, "Oh, yeah, I remember." And I said, "Well, is there anything else you could tell me about it?" But she can't remember it anymore now. You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
She, like anybody else, get caught up. You know, in the world, as time go on, and you kind of lose a lot of stuff. But she did remember that, you know. And I said to her, "Oh, I wish you would have just, you know, known so much more that you could have, you know, would have been able to share." She said, "No, I can't remember a lot, but I know that your great aunt used to sit down and she could tell you all about the children of Israel." Now, my mother is 78, so she's talking about my great, 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 great aunt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And for her to remember, as a child, she said she was 5 or 6 years old, and she said this is what they used to always do. She remember how they used to stand up, 12 of them, and each would say which tribe they were from. Even though they didn't know what tribe they were from, but they understood that they belonged to a tribe.
That's right. That's beautiful.
And that's what my mother told me.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's what my mother told me. And I was like, "Wow, mother, that is so awesome. Wow, I really wish you knew a little bit more, but thank you for that, you know?"
Really, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? The Father's still waking us up, and we're still broadcasting and publishing his word. So it's still going to go on, regardless, you know, every generation that goes by. But this generation right now, as long as the family knows, we are the generation of the fig tree. We are brought back into remembrance of things of the first world age that they're not talking about. We're going to get into more information, like I said, family. We're going to have Brother Michael on, and he's going to be able to go into Scripture as well as giving you the understanding of what took place and why we had to go. Brother Neil also wanted to speak on a little of that, I think, Brother Neil. But why we even had to go through this earth age, this world age. He's going to give a breakdown of that, and it's very good because there's a lot of parts of Scripture that a lot of people just don't get. They pick it up from understanding, "Oh, don't you know that ye are gods," which is his angels. Okay, now they can pick that angels part up there. I don't know why they can't pick it up in Genesis 1. Talking about the male and female. But, you know, "Don't you know that ye are gods?" You know, that word gods, speaking of angels, a divine being. But, you know, we weren't just divine beings from the garden. We were divine beings from that first earth age. And that's all the Father is telling us. When you get to the book of Jude, it brings us back into remembrance of this, this, and this. you know, there's a lot took place and a lot has not been taught properly. And the spiritual part is especially what they leave out, because if you don't know that you are those spiritual people, that you, the Father says that when you die, he takes back your spirit, your ruach. People don't understand. The world talks about reincarnation, but many times it's hinted around in the scriptures as well as what we know today. He says he's always left a remnant. Why did he leave a remnant? Because those, he takes that spirit, that ruach, and places it into the called lineage. And right now in the very end, those who are fully awake, teaching the word, understanding the word, it's not by accident that you know this. None of this stuff is by accident. A lot of people don't get that, but it's all throughout the word. Now, that's why I said when I bring out stuff like that, people say, oh, she's just making stuff up. No, it's in the word. You know, I've heard a couple Caucasians, Gentile Caucasians bring this up. Of course, they'll say that they, like, I'm going to just throw it out there. Sherry Schreiner, for one, she will talk about angels in the flesh. But, of course, she says that, who is her, I think she said Abraham was her she was the granddaughter.
Yeah, she said that they're the children of Israel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, but that's racist. But, hey, like Judges says, they're here to try you. Because are you going to hearken to the word, his commandment? Are you going to read that book for yourself? Or are you just going to listen to any wind of doctrine that comes your way out of any mouth? And that's what we got to get back to. So I wanted to play this particular clip, family, today, basically to open your eyes. If you can open your Bible and listen to what these people are saying and see that they didn't go according to Scripture. They blended in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. They've told everybody that we all come from one man, one woman. That's not the truth. Because when you look up that word, even brother, in the Strong Concordance, it'll say from possibly either way it could go, from the same father, could be from the same father and mother, but sometimes it's from the same mother but a different father. So, I mean, these are all the precepts that go along with understanding how to be, if you're called, if you're from that cult lineage, because that spirit, that's not, that's, you could say a recycled spirit, you could say whatever you want to, but the Father already knew us, even before we were, why do you think he said, I hate Esau? Esau didn't say nothing. He didn't say a doggone thing. You know, people don't figure that out. Well, because he already knew of Esau. He knew what Esau was about. He said that I'm not dealing with any other nation. Esau was not a Hebrew. Okay? That goes back all the way to Japheth and as well as Ham. Those were not Hebrews.
Right.
Only Shem. Ishmael, he was not. Isaac was. And Jacob.
Right.
So those are things that, you know, by doing all these shows, if people go through our archives, hopefully they can start getting it. Because we are in that last day. You know, of course, the beginning of the end started when Yahushua resurrected and so forth and poured out the Ruach. But the whole point is we're at the door right now. And I was going to have Sister Jennifer. You still there, Sister Jennifer?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Sister, can you read something for me?
Sure.
Can you open up to Romans chapter 8?
I sure can.
And I'm going to have her read just a little something, because our people cannot, for some reason, understand the spiritual part. I didn't go into in great detail about, and I've done it in other shows, but in this particular lesson, the importance of why they just kind of like flimmed over chapter 2 of Genesis and not telling you that Adam was created and formed from the dust of the ground on a sanctified Shabbat day. That just means the Sabbath day, and it was Kadesh. It was set apart.
Right.
They don't go into that. They will not go into that. And they will tell you that everybody, it's for everybody. Just like they say Yahushua was for everybody. No, he came from a lineage of a specific lineage, which was the tribe of Judah. Okay? A Hebrew lineage.
Yep.
You know, they teach the virgin birth, but it's not in the scriptures. It can be in the scriptures if you understand who put the Bible piece by piece together, because those books are out of order. Many of those books are out of order. So when they are able to put the books out of order, give you their personal interpretation, which is a lie for many things in the scripture, put the images, which is a lie, not as is written, and continuously give us words that they know in the Hebrew means something totally different. As long as they can do that and keep you deceived and keep you warned, that's the Willie Lynch, and
mm-hmm.
then tell you that somebody else is giving you a different gospel because it's not what you heard in the beginning. Well, what you heard in the beginning was the lie, if you heard it from our enemy. What? And people say, why is it that the Hebrews are supposed to teach? I tell everybody, well, go back to Judges 2. Go back to who were the commandments, the statutes, everything given to the laws, the commandments, statutes, covenant. Who was all that given to? It tell you. I am the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That lineage right there, the Israelites. When you get down to Judges 2, he said, because you didn't get them off your land, they're going to be there to try you, to see if you're going to hearken now to what I've already given you, the commandments and so forth. So if the people who are there to try us are not teaching us, do you think that they were supposed to teach according to our Father's word? Hecky no. No.
Right.
So, you know, people want to, where is it in the scripture? I said, it's not said directly in the scripture, but it's in the scripture. Can you read? Do you have understanding? So, sister,
right.
Do me a favor, open up Romans 8, and can you read verses 1 through 17, please?
Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Yahushua HaMashiach, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Ruach. For the law of the Ruach of life in Yahushua hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Yahuwah sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh.
So let me jump in, sister. Let me jump in. I'm sorry, but you don't mean my big mouth. I got to jump in right here. Yesterday, family, I ran across a woman who was a Christian. Now, she kept trying to tell me that the Trinity, basically, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's all the same thing. Now, if you read Romans 8, first of all, just jump 2 and 3 both. Particularly verse 3 says, for what the law could not do. Now, this is where you get spiritual with the New Testament. What we couldn't keep in the law by the flesh, it says, in that it was weak through the flesh, that the Father sending his Son, he didn't send himself, he sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came in the flesh. They tell us how they shed his blood. He tells us that. So he had flesh and blood. He says, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. This was a spiritual thing. Going back up to verse 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit, or the Ruach of life in Yahushua, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, let's look at it. Yahushua, all he did was bring things spiritual. What we couldn't keep in the flesh, we kept sinning. Go back to all your Old Testament. When he came through, it became spiritual. That's why it says, take off the old man, put on the new man. It's a circumcision of the heart, not of the external body anymore. That's why when he looked at the people, when the Ruach was passed out, he wasn't looking at anything of the outer garment. He wanted a spiritual. A woman could teach, man could teach, child could teach if the Ruach is poured upon that person. As far as the clothing and keeping things that are on particular days, he said, the Father tell you himself, I don't judge no man for one day over the other. Everything is spiritual, family. And I wanted her to read that in particular for that verse, but keep going on, sister.
Okay, and I just wanted to say something because, you know, some people ride on every word. Remember, family, the Ruach is in us. We have him in us all the time if we have accepted or understand Yahushua came. He came in the flesh as a seed of Joseph and Mary. Okay. Where am I? Verse 4, correct?
Verse 3, I think.
Okay.
You're on verse 4.
I think it's 4, okay. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Ruach. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Ruach, the things of the Ruach. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahuwah, for it is not subject to the law of Yahuwah, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please Yahuwah, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of Yahuwah dwell in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Yahushua, he is not of his, he is none of his.
Stop right there, you know, I got to hit it. That goes right back to who was given the breath of life. The Father says, I changed the dot. Who was given that breath of life? The breath of life, family, is the Ruach. When we are called, the Father is actually placing the Ruach. That is what makes you call. But it's going to a specific lineage. Because when men slept, the enemy came in and planted his seed and then went his way. That's one of the parables that Yahushua was trying to bring us into remembrance and understanding of. So in this verse that she just read right here, and it's so important that we get this part. What verse was that you just read, sister?
9.
Okay, in verse 9 it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. We know we have flesh bodies on, but we're spiritual beings from the beginning. What beginning? The first earth age. Also, we were spiritual when Adam and Eve were in that garden. It says, but in the spirit. Ye are not flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of Yahuwah dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit, not the Ruach of Yahushua, he is none of his. Yahushua, remember, this is where it gets a little tricky. Yahushua came in his father's name to do his father's will. He came but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said that I change not. So when people read this, Christianity will say it goes to everybody, but it really doesn't. It really doesn't. And those verses, you got to go back to the beginning. If you don't understand that there was two separate creations, the world tells you everybody got it. Not really. Not really. Uh-uh. That's not what the word says. That's why we had to break down these two creations, because when we go into certain things, especially in New Testament, it's not going to change. The Father, you know, you may forget, but I'm not going to forget. That's why the judgment got to come on, because many of our people have forgotten the truth of the word, regardless of the Father says, I change not. There ain't nothing new under the sun. Because we can't understand those verses that talk about that first earth age, go back to there's nothing new under the sun, keep going, it tells you that those things of that other age, you're not going to be able to remember, nor are you going to remember when you get into that new age things that are taking place now. But these are the things that our people, for some reason, keep forgetting, that all these little verses that tie it in really nicely, but it stems from learning that there was only one creation. So, sister, please continue.
Okay, verse 10. And if Yahushua HaMashiach be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Ruach is life because of righteousness. But if the Ruach of him that raised up Yahushua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Yahushua from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Ruach that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Ruach do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Ruach of Yahuwah, they are the sons of Yahuwah. For ye have not received the Ruach of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Ruach of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Ruach itself beareth witness with our Ruach that we are the children of Yahuwah. And if children, then heirs, heirs of Yahuwah, and joint heirs with Yahushua. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Okay, sister, that's all I needed. But I tell you what, I wanted to jump back to verse 17 real quick. I thank you for reading that for me.
Mm-hmm.
When you read 16 and 17, if you haven't figured out who he's speaking to, it says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. Well, who was Yahushua out there for? This right here, family, is Romans, so it's written by Paul. Paul was a Hebrew. Who was he speaking to? It says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. He's talking about the Hebrews, that we are the children of the Most High. He tells you, I am the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I don't know them other nations. And if children, whose children? We're the father's children. Then heirs. Heirs of what? Heirs of Yahuwah. Because he's ours. He's our father. My children, it says, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It says that an ox knoweth his owner and asks his master's crib. But my children, talking about Israel, they don't consider. What don't we consider? That we're their fathers. We are the ones that the promises were given to. It isn't the whole world. It says, and joint heirs with Yahushua. What lineage did Yahushua come from? He came from the Hebrew lineage, the tribe of Judah. Okay, that was a Hebrew lineage. So we're still talking about Israel here. It says, if so be that we are suffer with him. Why do we suffer? Because we're in Jacob's trouble still. The enemies, the enmity in the beginning, Genesis 3:15, is still upon the father's children. And that one was Abel, then Seth. Okay, starting from Adam, came one in that genealogy, family. I don't care what they show you or what they tell you in the documentary, the little movie called The Bible, The Beginning. No, there were a serpent. We're going to get into that part. We haven't gotten into it deeper enough for those of you who are new listeners. But no, there were two different creations. And yes, the father put the ruach in Abel. He also put the ruach in Seth. Cain didn't have it. But he did tell Cain, for you nations out there who are listening, he just said, if you do well. This is our history book. This book is for our understanding. And that's what many people, because you've learned that the Bible is for everyone. Not really. Not really. I'm not saying that you can't read it. What I'm saying is that's our history. You guys got all the history books that you put in school talking about your people, the Romans and all this. This is for us. So the majority of the information in this book is for our people. I don't care how many times they try to throw the word Jew or Gentile and make you think it belongs to a whole different another set of people. No, our Father's word is clear. It's very simple. It's very easy to read. Our Father is letting us know. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of Yahuwah and joint heirs with Yahushua. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together, and we will get those glorified bodies. And who's going to enter the kingdom? His people. It said that would be no Gentile trotting down that kingdom when everything's put back in its proper order. And if you mistake Christianity's doctrine for Jesus died for the whole world, we got to break down on that too. But it's important that you know there was another set of people out there. There's too many verses that tell Israel to be Kodesh. There's too many verses linking Old Testament and New Testament telling you that the same ones that came from that lineage, that the Father blew that spirit, that breath of life, that ruach in, is still here today. Yahushua went to teach the ones that were lost, now called Gentiles in the New Testament, the gathering them back in because, go back to the book of Judges, generation or two after the elder or judge died, they knew not the Father. Those verses are all their family. So it's very important that we bring, and I had to bring it to you. I had to bring it to you and show you that there's two creations in the beginning. Not only were there two creations in the beginning, but there's two sets of Nephilim. The ones that you see, and people are call them the elitists, or the ones who have set themselves in position of power. That's a family. That's your pure reptile lineage. That's the best way to call them. They are your pure reptile lineage. They do drink blood. They do eat flesh. They are here to even kill their own. And when I say their own, yes, they went into the other nations. And they slipped into some of ours because not all Israel's of Israel. They may look like a sheep, but really they're a ravaging wolf trying to deceive you. When the Hebrews slept, and we are the wheat. When we slept, then the enemy came in, them tares, planted them tares there. Get the understanding. So if you are in family, if you are in anybody joining us today, if you are in a religious system and you have been taught one thing, is it really worth it to you to hearken to the Father's word, which is what he keeps telling us in Old and New Testament, or is it worth more than you listen to a person tell you what that means? Is it worthy for you to look into the book and understand that the Father said 1,000 years is like one day, and one day like 1,000 years, letting you know that there was a 6-day creation and a 7-day creation. We played the MP3 from the movie, the Bible, the beginning, in the beginning. So is that really how the beginning was? No, it isn't. So I want to just feed that little bit of information to you to get you thinking. If you really love the Father, read your Bible. Know the truth. If you want to come and learn more, we'll be happy to continue teaching you. You can call in with your questions. We always have a Hebrew, our Hebrew history book. We always have that show, Question and Answer Time, and we welcome guests to come in also and ask questions. This is important. This is not something to overlook lightly. I'm going to go through some more of this movie on a further show, and we're going to really dig into it deep. Sister Jennifer, anybody else, anything you want to say at this point?
No, just a good teaching, Sister George, as usual. That's what we always get from our Deborah in, I know people don't like me saying that, but our Deborah in this age and this time, you know, our prophet that brings us the truth, set apart truth, and I appreciate you, and, you know, the word has been spoken, so we need to inhale it, you know, eat it, chew it, digest it, live it. And own it.
Well, you know what, sister, you said something, and I'm just going to proclaim something else on what you just said. You know, family, we know that Yeshua came to make things spiritual. If he's making things spiritual, he ain't looking at the outside. So we have our brothers out there calling themselves elders, calling themselves prophets and all this. Well, you know, I won't take that away from them, although we're all sisters and brothers. But don't you not think that the Father don't have his women, the prophetess, speaking right now. Don't be deceived by that. Don't be deceived. I know you read a little bit of Paul and think you got it all. Break that stuff down. We've done that already on our shows. Break that stuff down and see if that's really what the Father said. He ain't looking on anything on the outside. Don't come to me with no fringes. Don't come with your head tied all up. Don't come with your body wrapped like a mummy, because the Father ain't looking at none of that, okay? He's not looking at
that. One more thing, Sister Georgia, and I lovingly say this, and I know some will get mad, but you know, in this evil time, in this evil land, and where we are now, don't always get mad at people about keeping the feast. Because that's another one, Sister Georgia, that's out there that, you know, I mean, she's told you about the, you know, she spoke a great word in teaching on that. People are hurting over people hating him over the feast. We're not to do that now, family.
Yeah. Go back to those walls and figure out what Yahushua was trying to tell the people. Go back to those woes. I believe it's in the book of Matthew, if I'm not mistaken. There's a long list of them, but he tells you those who were sitting in Moses' seat, you know, they put heavy burdens on people. That goes with the clothes, that goes with the celebration of certain days, that we cannot keep those things, not righteously, not according to the Father's word. But many people are trying to do just like they did. We all have to gather. We have to, and if you don't do it all, they come down. Hey, I've had sisters and brothers tell me how they get beat up over this. You better know the truth, because the Father tells you in his word, don't judge no man over this day or that day, or he keeps going over this. I mean, we went over the show, and I read all the verses. So we really have to really not judge. Just be glad that you in truth of the Father's word, and that you are still searching his truth out in his word. And you have that one-on-one connection where you, if you sin, you repent instantly to him, because Yahushua shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Know that that is there for our people. That is there for our people and those who sojourn with us, you know. These things are put in place, family, for our learning, our understanding, and so that we can one day, those who are Hebrews, obtain that kingdom, and those who are sojourning with us, hey, they can come in as well, but not into the kingdom. But they do get a special, they don't get that lake of fire if you do well. And I know people don't like to hear that, but that is what the word says. If you find anything different, and you make sure you don't take some out of context when you read the word Gentiles and the word nations, by the way, because our people were scattered in all the nations. And when they were scattered in those nations, you hear a lot of them today say, well, I'm a Hawaiian. But it's a Hebrew that was just scattered out there. You see them say that they're Jamaican. But they're a Hebrew. I'm African. Well, they're a Hebrew that is within that African, continent. But they are not Africans. They just migrated there from the siege of Jerusalem. Not all of them, not all those Africans out there are Hebrews, but there are some out there. So we're in all the nations. Even in America, we got the Hebrews out here. We got not just the tribe of Judah, but the bulk of Judah came out here. We have other nations. We got the, Ishtar? Many of our people are scattered everywhere, family. So when you read the Bible and see where it says, and also the nations, make sure you know what nations are speaking of. They're still speaking to the Hebrews who were scattered in the nations. Go back to the curses and you'll figure it out. Go back throughout the whole Bible. It tells you. So all these things are very important, and it's things that we shouldn't overlook. The world wants you to look over those things and bring in spiritual Israel and bring in a virginity birth whereby the whole world gets the promises and everything that was given just to the Hebrews. The old and new, the Father says, hey, I do not change. He's still got a people. So I don't have anything else to say on this topic today. I'm going to try to get the notes ready for tomorrow. If I do, we're going to go into a little bit more of what they have to show.